We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Off and running into our third hour here of Sports Talk, Saints Training Camp Edition. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Saints all-time leading rusher, Deuce McAllister, stepping in for the final 2 hours. I'm Christian Garrick, Mark Menard at Master Control, taking your phone calls at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Deuce, you weren't a part of it for the first 2 hours. We spent a lot of time talking about the new helmet rule, and there's been 25 times where teams have been flagged in the preseason for leading with the helmet. Should the NFL revise that policy? Do you think players have a clear understanding of what's going to be called a foul and what's not?
I don't think that they have a clear understanding of what's a foul and what's not. I mean, obviously, a lot of times you're going to see this rule be arbitrary in a lot of ways just because the officials, it's almost a judgment call. I don't think that you can clearly call it a penalty each time as far as – I think it's more of an open field play. I mean, because if you're really honestly calling that play, Bobby – every time short yardage and every time goal line,
head to head
for the offensive lineman. Anytime there's a quarterback sneak, he's leading with the helmet. So I mean, I think it's an open field call,
right?
But I still think it needs adjustment.
Now, Deuce, come on, I'm gonna go straight to the source. You are running back, and I guess in your career, you had to have used your helmet to run over somebody before
every play. It's just a natural instinct.
No, especially in space. But, okay, so now let's say going forward, because if you mark Ingram or any running back, you know, whoever, you look Saquon, whoever you might think is a top running back, and you're going to lower your head. So what do? You lower your turn and you lower your shoulder?
You always try to lead with the shoulder first to take some of that impact off.
Right.
I think that's what you always try to do. Now, I don't know how much consciously you're thinking of it.
Because it happens so fast, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, so I don't know how much of it you're thinking of it in that manner. It may cross your mind before the play starts.
Right.
But when you're running, you're reacting.
So, Deuce, could you see this season that Todd Gurley, or a top running back, all of a sudden, now this would be interesting. Now you can see a defensive player because of a kill shot getting kicked out. Can you imagine all of a sudden the Rams are in contention and then all of a sudden Todd Gurley ejected because he led helmet? You know what I'm saying, Deuce? Well, that'd be interesting to see if that would be called and he would. I think you could give him a penalty, but would he be ejected?
Well, and that's the thing. Of the 25 calls, I don't think we've had any ejections.
Not one.
Not
Christian said – they had one. Christian, who got ejected?
Colts player, backup safety.
Oh, okay.
So out of 25 penalties, there has been one ejection.
Yeah, so to me that makes sense. Kind of like when you look with to explain to the millennials, soccer, yellow card, red card versus a penalty and ejection. So when you look at Deuce, it almost has to be so flagrant to
me. That's what I'm thinking.
To get ejected, that it's like, oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer. They got to kick him out.
Correct.
But to me, that's not flagrant. But my understanding, and I bring back the Super Bowl, when Brandon Cooks turned it to Malcolm Jenkins, it happened so fast.
It would have been a penalty for sure.
Penalty, but then they said Malcolm would have got ejected.
Yeah, it would have been a penalty for sure. But the ejection, from when we met with the officials, New York gets involved with the ejection. Now, the on-field official does have the power to eject the player, so it's not just New York that ejects a player. They go back, they look at the play, New York gives its opinion, and when I say New York, that is the main official's office.
Like the headquarters.
The headquarters. They give their opinion because they look at the play as well, and they kind of confer with that on-site official to make the decision or back him up on his decision. Now, the on-site official said that he has the final call. I don't believe that. I think the final call goes up to New York. I mean, because if it's one thing to say he would have gotten ejected, and it's another to actually eject him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, to happen. Yeah. You could get the penalty without the ejection.
Hindsight to say, yeah, we would eject him after it's over. Yeah, well, I mean, that's easy to say.
You know, Deuce, if I can recall, and Christian with this, is that I think Sean Payton might elaborate on this. When they looked at all the games.
He said there was a few.
There was like a four to half a dozen.
Yeah.
So let's say six, four to six.
All season.
Yeah, all season that those players would have been ejected. So I think you could see more penalties. Like Christian, you said one out of what, 25?
Yes.
Okay, so I could see the penalties definitely being called, but not necessarily the ejection. That's going to be so flagrant. Like you really a human missile going in there to truly get ejected.
Bobby, on the teach tape that we watched with the officials, yeah. Two of the plays were the Saints.
Which play was it?
Human heat-seeking missiles.
Von Bell against the Redskins was one, again, where he got the late hit against the quarterback.
Right.
Against Cousins. And then the other one was against Tampa Bay.
Well, and Deuce, the way the rules are structured, you think it would have been justified if they'd have been ejected according to it?
One of them, he probably would have gotten ejected.
For sure.
Yeah, and the other one, I mean, both plays, he got a penalty on them.
Right. But for sure, one would have got kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
So you would not have a problem because it was that flagrant.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think, fans can live with that if it's so flagrant that even if you're being objective, that, yeah, hell yeah. I mean, I don't care if it's for your team or against, you cannot do that and the player's gone. But and I think they could somewhat live with it. It's just a penalty. Now, it could be a costly penalty to cost you the game, but you don't want a player that maybe it's bang-bang happened so fast that he would be ejected and he should have just had a penalty called against him instead of out-out ejection and affect the whole game.
Coming back for Patrick, Joe, and Mark. Sit tight. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. Still to come, Gary Smith covering Tulane for the Wave Report and contributor for The Advocate. The Wave Report. Also, Jacques Doucet, according to The Advocate, Brooks Kubina, both Lowell Narcisse and Justin McMillan, absent today from practice. Could they be looking at transfer possibilities or options? We'll visit with Jacques a little later on. Mark in Slido, what's going on, Mark? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? That's what I was calling y'all about what I've been reading on the internet. Sources tell WDSU, Fletcher Mackle, that both McMillan and Narcisse was not at practice today and evaluating their future with the LSU program. And supposedly from the ESPN channel up in Baton Rouge, that one of their personalities said the only one of the two that was promised playing time was Narcisse. So now they both are evaluating going from that. You know, Fletcher Mackle.
It's the in vogue thing to do, Mark. That's what everybody. That's what all these kids are doing these days. If they don't play immediately, or if they're getting skipped over for playing time, you're seeing transfers at quarterback at a higher rate than we've seen traditionally. And I think that it shows you when Joe Burrow got there. That's why Coach Ed Ogeron had always maintained hard and fast that, hey, it's a competition. We're going to allow them to compete. And now after maybe they're losing the competition, they want to pull chalks. That's kind of the way it goes.
Well, Mark, to be totally objective, and the millennials will probably hate me on this, is that they want to avoid competition. Not everyone's going to be an NFL quarterback. They might think they have the ability to be an NFL quarterback, but they're not living in the real world. So to say you're going to be promised to recruit you, you the man. Well, what happened to competition? No, the best, the cream rises to the top. So when I look at it, if you're afraid of competition, you want to be handed something, what are you truly earning? So all I know is go out there and compete. If you win the job, you win the job. If you don't win the job, then I could see maybe you want to go to a different place. Not necessarily to prolong your career, just because you want to play. But a lot of times you have a lot of individuals pie in the sky. They all think they're going to be NFL quarterbacks. And they are delusional. they have no idea what they're getting into. They might have always been praised throughout their life and say this and that's going to occur, but they're not being realistic. They have not humbled themselves to truly achieve great things. Look at Drew Brees. You know where Drew Brees is from? Austin, Texas. Now, the great state of Texas.
Didn't get recruited football, by Texas. Didn't get recruited by TCU.
The great Texas state of football. He went to Purdue. Now, listen, if you're going to compete and fight, there's no, to me, that's no big deal if you want to transfer. But at times, the first time, you know, a situation doesn't work for a player, oh, I'm transferred. I want to be the guy. That's why, Christian, Deuce, I respect Baker Mayfield. Now, you might say, well, you know, Baker Mayfield went to two different schools, but he might be, think about this.
Walk-on.
The odds, a walk-on at Texas Tech and Oklahoma and became the number one overall draft pick, to by beating the odds. So, listen, you got to have confidence in your ability, and you got to go there and produce, but you have too many players that as soon as they get competition and they give up the ghost and they think they have to go somewhere else. Why not fight and compete where you're at and win the job? And if you don't win the job, well, aren't you originally going to college to get an education so you can get a better job in the future or have an opportunity? No, I'll tell you, there's too many damn young players think they're going to the pros. They're delusional. They're not realistic to know the opportunity instead of focusing on their education and to better themselves, no matter what the field, whether you want to be an engineer, a doctor, whatever it might be.
So what would your advice be to both of those young players?
Okay, who are you talking about?
Lolo Narcisse and Justin McMillan.
Narcisse play a different position if you want to play in the NFL. If you want to play in the NFL, I think you're a big-time athlete. You have a great enough skill set to play at the next level, but ain't going to be no damn quarterback. It ain't going to happen. Now, it might be in your interest to help LSU with your skill set, the RPOs, whatever, because I think he can excel at a high level. But to say Narcisse could be an NFL quarterback, come on, his mom and dad might think I'm hating on him. I'm not hating. I'm a realist about that because I think he's good enough to play pro ball. But not necessarily a quarterback. Now, who's that a guy?
McMillan, and he's already graduated.
Okay, yeah, McMillan.
So he's a left-handed. Both of them are left-handed quarterbacks.
Okay,
he's
McMillan,
already graduated. He can transfer without.
Yes. Now, you see, I respect that. He already got skins in the ball. He graduated. I would look, if I was him, for the best opportunity, wherever that might be. Because he already graduated. Look, school was a priority, and you got to respect that. So I would not have any problem with him leaving Deuce because, listen, he graduated and he took advantage of that opportunity and now he wants to play. I would not have a problem with that.
The only problem for him also, though, when you look at it, everybody's already started camp.
They already started camp. But maybe is he an NFL quarterback?
I don't know. I don't know if he's an NFL quarterback.
I mean, he might be like Danny Etling at the best case scenario. Who knows? But I look by him graduating, that's the best thing he ever did in his life for his future to support himself and his family by getting that college education.
Speaking of two lefties, you know there's not one quarterback in the NFL that's a left-hander right now? Not one. The last touchdown pass thrown by a lefty was in 2015. You know who it was? Dez Bryant. There's no current left-handers in the NFL. It's just interesting to think about because it's a right-handed kind of league.
You have Michael Vick, Steve Young, old school.
But it hasn't been in 5 years.
If I'm a left hand, I'm going to play baseball.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. Come on. Can you pitch?
All right. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. My way too early 53-man roster projection for the New Orleans Saints 1.0. We'll talk about that next hour. First, though, Joe in Mandeville. What's going on, Joe? You're on WWL.
Hey, real quick, you want to clear up the rumor about Davenport?
Yeah, come on, Joe. Help us out.
Well, what's the story on this sports hernia I'm hearing?
Well, sports hurting. We hear like groin pull. We haven't heard.
I hear what Joe's saying because here's the deal. In the past, they've had. Now, this is when they had the doctor issues. They've had misdiagnoses. That's been well documented. And in the past, groin injuries have turned into sports hernias.
Yeah, groin injury, hip flexion, all that. And Joe, the bottom line is that's not good because you got to be able to run. Whether it's remember, you know, who played through a sports hernia at a high level, Deuce? You remember?
Jabari Greer.
No, Will Smith.
Will Smith, that's true, yeah.
You remember all of a sudden we were all bitching about Will Smith wasn't as productive? But the back end of the season, he was dealing with a sports hernia.
Well, if it's a sports hernia, he's still out doing some stuff with the trainers and even his position coach. So if that's the case, then he's a real tough dude.
So Joe, listen, I know he didn't go to the University of Texas in Austin. He went to Texas San Antonio. But we're still expecting big things from Davenport. And when I say big things, I'm just talking about, boy, can he help the team get a handful of sacks? I mean, that's what I'm looking for. Hopefully Okafor is ready to roll day one. Trey Hendrickson, I think, he's another one. Stays healthy. I think he could be a pleasant surprise. I think he could build upon when he was healthy last year. But, listen, to say Davenport is all of a sudden that bookend defensive end on every down, I was at a Cam Jarn, no. He has a ways to go because what would you do? I'd run right at him at first down. Okay, see how stout you're going to be against the run. But can he contribute and get a few sacks or, you know, quarterback hits, quarterback hurries, whatever, however you describe it?
You got to see him. You got to see him by the fourth preseason game. Otherwise, maybe it is that injury that Joe's referring to. Because, well, that's usually what, a 6-week recovery?
Yeah, depending on the body, but about 6 weeks. I mean, but if that's the case, you shut him down all the way. I mean, he's not even out doing the stuff that he's been out doing.
It doesn't repair itself.
No.
Well, so, and listen, I trust Deuce, Joe. Let me tell you, I tell you right now.
I hadn't been the only one that have seen it.
Okay, but Deuce, the point I'm making, if he's continuing rehabbing and not just shutting it down,
you would shut him down completely.
Yes, that's why I tend to believe it could be a significant groin injury, and we talked about this before. Once you hurt your groin, you can't fight through it. You're going to make it worse. You have to let it heal, and you don't want to come back too early because then you're really setting yourself back.
Gary Smith, at Gary Smith on Twitter, the Rave Report, checking in on a Tulane Green Wave. And Gary, overall, is high expectations for this Tulane squad this year. How are they embracing it so far in summer camp?
They're really embracing it. You talk to players. Look, there's no such thing as a team that isn't confident during training camp, but I've been covering Tulane for 8 years now, and this is definitely the most confident they've been, that they all think they're going to a bowl game this year. It's no slam dunk by any means, but they've just got a lot of confidence in Jonathan Banks, their senior quarterback, because the last three games last year, he averaged about 250 passing yards a game, and that's for a team that rushes for over 200 yards a game. He should be better this year. They've got two excellent receivers in Taron Onkelad and Darnell Mooney coming back for him, too. If you add that potent passing attack to that running game that they have, they're going to be a lot more potent than they've been on offense in the first 2 years of the Willie Fritz era. But they still don't have a lot of margin for error, and they've already lost one key player, Notre Dame transfer Freddie Canteen, who was a four-star recruit when he went to Michigan as a wide receiver and was sensational in the first week of training camp. Re-injured his shoulder and is out for the year. And that's not a huge surprise because he missed a year and a half at Michigan with a shoulder problem, went to Notre Dame, played 3 games away from there. So it's a chronic problem for him, but that's a big loss for him. And they still don't have a ton of margin for error. So after watching the team practice 2 weeks, I think they're good enough to go to a bowl game, but they're going to have to win close games as teams like that always need to get to that point.
Well, and that was what I was going to ask you. I know you've lost one contributor, or potential contributor. How do you like the depth so far, or do you think that they have enough depth, even though that margin is very, very thin as far as for them to be successful?
I have depth, but it's young depth, because the Curtis Johnson era, they did not recruit really well. They took some risks. They don't have very much. They've maybe got 5 guys left from that class. Those would be your fourth-year players on this team. Of course, the first year.
Gary, we got to step in and see if we can get a better cell connection, man. We're hearing like every other word, so All right, so we're going to try to reconnect with Gary Smith.
Oh, yeah, we have to be on top of Tulane football. So call him back, Christian.
Yeah, we'll get him back. Patrick and Matt, sit tight as well. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Gary Smith, at Gary Smith on Twitter, covering Tulane. The Wave Report, also a contributor for The Advocate. Gary, sorry we had a bad connection there, but I think Deuce had a question for you. We'll get back to that.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I think I had asked just basically, outside of the receiver being out for the year, the transfer, what do you think about the depth, the overall depth, even though we know that the margin of error is thin?
Right. I think they have good, much better depth now, but that depth is young. Because the last year of Curtis Johnson's coaching tenure, Tulane had a rough recruiting class. They've lost a lot of those guys from that class. I think they only have five guys left, and those would be the fourth-year seniors. And then the first year that Willie Fritz came in, he obviously got a late start. He was hired in December. That class was hit or miss, too, and those are the third-year guys. So the depth is coming from the first and second-year players. They've got a good core of seniors, but not very many seniors. They've got a good core of juniors, but not a ton of juniors. The depth is the freshmen and sophomores, so they haven't proven themselves yet. They're very talented. They had their highest-rated recruiting class since before Katrina this year under Willie Fritz, but we won't know until the season starts whether those young guys are ready to play or not.
Now, Gary, a two-part question. Obviously, we all know Jonathan Banks, what he means to the team. To me, he's the catalyst, obviously, but if he improves as expected, the offense will be much more formidable after, you know, look at point production. After scoring 21 or fewer points six times last season, and that was near the bottom of the league on third down conversions. So that'll help whatever occurs on defense. So I want you to elaborate on that just as far as their scoring ability. And then when you look to the strength of schedule, and I was talking with Deuce and Christian about this, Wake Forest. Now, Wake Forest is not your whipping boy in the ACC anymore, I don't think. But you get him at home. You got Nicholls State. You look with Coach Rebo, what he's done there. Then at UAB and at Ohio State. Do you perceive them to be 3-0 going into that Ohio State game or what? And just talk about the production, what they could have on offense under Jonathan Banks. Where this day and age, you're not going to have those 17, 13 type games and having to score more.
Yeah, I think they need to be 3-0. I think to get to where they want to be, it won't be easy though. Wake Forest has been to consecutive bowl games. They don't have their quarterback; he's been suspended for the game. But they've become a high powered offense in recent years. And here's a stat for you: the last time Tulane beat a current Power Five conference team at home was 2003. Against Mississippi State.
Whoa.
That was 15 years ago. That's a long time. The last time Tulane beat any current Power 5 conference team was at Rutgers in 2010, when Rutgers was a member of the Big East and wasn't even in the Big Ten. So Willie Fritz is having to change a lot of things at Tulane. Changing the culture, getting these guys to believe they can win a game like that is a good start. And I actually think that Wake Forest game is the most pivotal game of the season. Tulane needs to have something positive happen. It's a Thursday night. It's a home game. Like I said, Wake Forest will not have their projected starting quarterback. He's been suspended. Tulane has to find a way to win that game. Another note, Willie Fritz himself has never beaten a Power 5 conference team. Now, in fairness to him, he was coaching at Sam Houston State and at Georgia Southern, and now is in his third year at Tulane. He's never been a favorite. He took Georgia to overtime one year and lost. He almost beat Georgia Tech. He's had some close calls. It's time for Tulane to win a game like that. And just on to the passing game, they need a huge year from Jonathan Banks because they haven't scored enough points in the last 2 years. Their defense should be okay, but not great. They're young at some key spots. They're going to have to outscore some good teams to get to that bowl game. And I think that's mainly on Jonathan Banks' shoulders. He needs to be not just a good quarterback, he needs to be an elite quarterback. And he showed that potential in the last three games last year. He needs to do it for a full season this year.
Gary Smith, at Gary Smith on Twitter, The Wave Report, also a contributor for The Advocate. Gary, two big shoes to fill, Marvin Moody and Lawrence Graham at linebacker. Talk about those two players.
Yeah, they're terrific athletes. It's funny, they were incredibly lightly recruited. You look at Lawrence Graham, you know why he's 5'10". So it's the old height game on that one. He was, I think, Tulane beat out Army for him. Marvin Moody, I have no earthly idea why this guy wasn't recruited more. He was going to go to Central Arkansas, but when Tulane swooped in and got him, He's big. He's fast. He's a good player. He's got a lot of ability. And Lawrence Graham is one of those guys. He's obviously far bigger than Nico Marley, so I can't compare him to him. But he uses Nico Marley as a model thing. He still holds a grudge against all the teams that didn't recruit him because of his size. They're two big-time players. But, again, they're two big-time players that have not played much yet, so they may have some growing pains as the year goes along. But one problem Tulane's had in the first 2 years is they've given up a lot of big plays on defense. When something's broken past the line, they haven't been athletic enough a lot of times to prevent those 10-yard plays from becoming 40-yard gains. And both of those linebackers have the speed to make up for some mistakes up front. So it'll be really interesting to see how those two guys play early in the year and if they can start making those plays. It can be the difference between winning and losing a game.
Gary Smith, at Gary Smith on Twitter, The Wave Report. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it, right?
Sure. Sorry for the connection problems. I know there's nothing worse than radio than having the guy you can't hear half the time.
Nah, no worries. We've got it fixed. Thanks, man.
Okay, sure.
All right, coming back for Patrick and Matt and Slidell next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Sometimes the conversations in between breaks are always interesting.
No, we're just talking about how United States is such a melting pot.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, we were talking about Deuce's birth name, Duwamus, and it's not spelled with a W, though.
No, it's not with a W. D-U-L-Y-M-U-S.
And it comes from Deuteronomy and Old Testament. So.
And your mother and your aunt, you said,
yeah,
came up with this name.
Yeah, my mother and my aunt.
You are, I'm sure, the only man on the planet with the first name Duwamus.
If they're 40 and older, then I need to check them out. But anything younger than that, then yes, I can see. But
yeah.
Outside of that, yeah.
Do you know of any fans that have ever come up to you and said, hey, I've named my kid after you, whether it's last name or first name?
Yeah, I know last name for sure.
Really?
A couple of them, yeah.
McAllister.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Well, they probably.
Unique first name, especially.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Deuce. Deuce on the loose. I could see Deuce.
Okay, yeah, so. Now a few of them Deuce as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But none to say.
Deuce, I could be agent on this. We need to get you to do a Dos Equis commercial. Dos Equis Deuce.
He's making you money. See, he makes you money. He tries to get you marketing.
He wants to beat you up.
He wants to hurt me.
Yeah, so, Chris, we're not getting you any. We don't have any commercials for you.
Of course not. I don't get anything.
No,
I get a selfie stick over the head. He wants me to get
the
goal against Steve Court. The latest is we got a new rink over there in Kenner. You know,
right.
So he wants to put Steve Court in the rink with me and have him check me up against the board.
Either we want either Jim Dombrowski or Steve Court to check Christian on ice skate.
Can Steve actually ice skate?
Oh yeah, from Colorado. Went to the University of Arkansas.
I can skate.
I
spent time up in West Point with my dad.
Yeah, so Christian could skate, but he's skating against a big man like Steve Court or Jim Dombrowski.
Bobby just wants to hurt me.
I just want to see if you could take being checked on the board.
I've already said that my Marine days are over, man. 16 years. I was no longer tough after I said, see you later, I'm out.
Well, Christian, we got to dunk you and, you know.
We are them. Because you didn't.
No, Bobby said he was a part of the group.
You didn't get to dunk me.
Because you got off.
No. Deuce is there. I played within the rules. Did I or did I not? No. Don't go player side in here.
No. Bobby had 2, 3... Four throws?
Yeah, and then the fifth
and
one,
the
I finally
fifth
hit
one,
it.
He hit it.
Hit it. And then Christian
and
jumped
Chris,
off.
Christian was not going to wait on that fifth
throw. He was not going to wait.
Because everybody else had the same amount of throws.
No, that's correct.
Yeah, but they practiced, and I threw the ball. Forward throw was the Biloxi Shuckers.
Yeah, it was two
Sounds
years ago,
like,
right?
Yeah. Excuses to me.
Like, I mean, no. I would tell you, I think on that second throw I hit it, but I had let's say it wasn't the Cajun Cannon, it was the Cajun pea shooter. Because I'm telling you, I think I hit that.
You did hit it, and it didn't drop.
It wasn't hard enough.
You didn't throw it hard enough.
I didn't throw it hard enough, so.
Deuce, go back to – so I think you've told this story before, but maybe someone hasn't heard it. But how'd you get the nickname Deuce? Was it a Little League coach?
Yeah, my middle school coach basically could not say Duwamus, and he saw it, and he was like, hey, look, man, I can't call you that. You have a nickname. You know, what does your family call you or – you know, and so coaches, it's D or Super D. I'm the second child, and so, you know, some of them call me Deuce, and he was already a huge Alabama fan, David Palmer. David Palmer was, you know, having an outstanding career at
so
that
wait,
point.
So, wait, David Palmer, who ended up an unbelievable return and went to the Vikings?
Yep.
But no,
yep.
Deuce, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yep, and so that he said, well, I like Deuce, you know, and that's what I'm going to call you. And so
basically, when did it start becoming like that's how you introduce yourself?
After high school. I mean, because while I was in high school, all the kids, they grew up with Duwamish. I mean, but it became Deuce. But now, you know, really, really after high school and college.
Is that why you ended up with 22 at Ole Miss?
Yeah. Well, I wore two in high school, too.
Oh, you wore two in high school.
Yeah.
Deuce, double deuce, all that deuce.
Makes sense. Coming up next hour, Jacques Doucet, sports anchor and reporter for WAFB in Baton Rouge. Also, Alan Waddell, our WBL prep insider. Some accusations being thrown about towards Brother Martin. Still to come, also, my way too early.
What's up with that, Christian?
Projected 53-man roster. I'll explain next hour.
Oh, yeah. Educate me. Help me out.
This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.